Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. Today we had an update on the level of new infections in the UK and what it means for the R number. James, do you want to go into the details?
So the R number, which the government put significant store by, is now above one. That means that the virus is growing rather than shrinking. So if you had the virus, you would infect more than one person with it, and the worry is that that then speeds up and you very quickly get a rise. The other concern is that there appears to be that infections among the elderly are beginning to go up. And this is what the government have been warning about, which is they fear that this rise in infections among young people was then going to rise to infections among old people, who we know get the virus far more seriously than young people do. They fear that will lead to more hospitalizations and sadly more deaths. And we see that in Birmingham, extra restrictions are going to be put in place, barring households from meeting up with each other in households. And I think that this is another sign that even though it is still early September, it's, you look outside today and it's a beautiful late summer's day here in London, we are seeing more and more restrictions. And I think it is another reminder that the government we are looking at a hard autumn ahead. And as Fraser says in his Telegraph column today, given that the government's model is Belgium, I think we can expect more restrictive measures coming soon. Because, remember in Antwerp, they had a very strict nighttime curfew. And we've also seen polling, which has not passed number 10's notice, showing that a majority of the public would support that here.
Fraser, why is Belgium the government's desired country that it wants to follow? We often hear Belgium in a negative light when you look at the number of cases. So what do you think is going on there? As James says, you have talked about this today.
Well, this is the new Chris Whitty theory. He gave us these graphs a few days ago showing a tale of three countries, Spain, France and Belgium. His moral was that Spain and France were blasé about their second wave of case infections. They didn't move to try to suppress it. They didn't do any more lockdowns. And as a result, the infection went from the young to the elderly, to the elderly into increase in hospital cases and then to an increase in deaths. That's the story as he told it, although if you actually look at the Spanish figures, they're nowhere like as dramatic, or the relationship isn't nearly as linear as he suggests. But by the Quitty telling, Belgium, they did suppression, they did curfews. In Antwerp, there was a curfew between 11:30 and 6 in the morning. They had all sorts of other things. They had a kind of supermarket sweep rule, whereby you had to be out of a supermarket within 30 minutes. So they moved with sort of lockdown things that even Neil Ferguson didn't imagine first time around. And they apparently managed to stop the rise in infections. So this means that the British government's policy is to suppress new cases. Now, what's wrong with that, you might ask? Well, the answer is quite simple. When this happened to Sweden back in June, they saw their new cases surge quite a lot. But they said, look, this isn't necessarily a problem. If it's affecting young people, the only thing that matters is if the hospital numbers are going up and if deaths are going up. So let's wait to see if they are going up significantly before we act. Now, they didn't, of course, and Sweden managed to preserve its liberty and to manage the decline of the virus. So right now, it's almost it's a great fundamental debate here. Do you agree with Chris Whitty that if cases are going up, as they indisputably are, then that means hospital numbers are going to go up by the same amount, deaths are going to go up by the same amount? Or do you think, as the Swedes argued back in June, that this relationship no longer applies, that can be relatively relaxed about cases going up because there's no evidence yet of a serious increase in illness, hospitalizations, or deaths?
Now, James, I saw on social media a few Conservative MPs click like on Fraser's column about how Sweden, is back on the travel corridor list. Things are, if you're looking for lessons to be learned, perhaps there is merit in the Swedish approach. So just looking at, I suppose, the figures today, it's clear there is a lot of discontent in the parliamentary party over the rule of six, over this idea that a curfew could even be considered. Do you think the numbers today coming out that aren't right are going to make MPs think twice, perhaps think that you do need stricter measures, or are they just going to point to Sweden?
So I think it will probably peel back some of the MPs who are across, but I think a lot of MPs are across on principle grounds, and there are two sets of principle grounds. One is the argument that, you know, people, the state should not be telling people to live their life in the detail that it is now. I think there are a growing number of Tory MPs who would like a kind of message of, basically, if you're under 55, carry on with life. 55 to 75, assess your own medical situation. Over 75, take care, probably stay home. And then I think there's another issue here, which is the lack of parliamentary involvement in this. Now, these emergency powers come up for renewal in a few weeks' time. I think when they were first passing, they had a six-month duration. And I think this lack of parliamentary involvement is really beginning to irritate Tory MPs. They can find it astonishing that the government can change the law from 30 people. It's now illegal to have more than six people, to meet more than six people anywhere, and with some limited exceptions. And I think Tory MPs can find it amazing that that can happen without any consultation. And I think to rub salt into the wound, you know, there was no statement to Parliament on this. Matt Hancock came for comments on Tuesday, but didn't talk about his changes, which were announced on Wednesday.
Yeah. And there's not even any explanation. This is what really, really bugs me, that the notion of democratic accountability seems to have fallen off completely. I mean, I'm quite prepared to believe that the rule of six is necessary, that Chris Whitty's analysis is correct, but you should have somebody at least answering politicians' questions, saying, please, Matt Hancock, tell us why we think the Swedish model does not apply to Britain. Please tell us why you think that this rule of six is going to make any meaningful effect on the trajectory of the virus. We dare say, Mr. Hancock, that you've got the evidence, so why don't you just publish it and let us discuss and scrutinise it? But instead, you've got this kind of black box democracy, as I called it a few months ago when it first came along. They come to Parliament saying, look, a very clever committee has told us this is the danger and this is the solution, so we're going to implement it. You bypass everything. You don't give any explanation. This is a recipe for bad decisions and bad government. So I think that the MPs are right to be worried, not just as a personal slight that they've been ignored, that you can get some pretty big decisions taken with pretty deleterious consequences, perhaps on a false prospectus. We know that Matt Hancock himself had no idea that the COVID deaths were being counted in the way that they were until a blog from Professor Carl Hennigan at Oxford alerted him to the fact that if you had been diagnosed with COVID and were run over by a bus, you'd be counted as a COVID death. That makes you wonder just how firm a grip the Department of Health has even now on the evidence it's using to recommend these quite dramatic curtailments to our liberty. There may well be a case for it. I just feel the government should do a lot more to make that case.
James, finally, we're talking about backbench unease over the emergency legislation. What is the mechanism for rolling that back, for having your say, trying to stop the government from having these sweeping powers? Because we've spoken about a bit in the past, but it has been put to some that it's actually quite a complicated thing to do.
Yeah, so objecting to any of the measures at the moment is very complicated. It's all stuff that is about praying against and all this kind of thing. But the government will have to bring a vote to the Commons in the next few weeks to renew these powers. Now, the interesting question is, what happens there? So to date, Keir Starmer has been, you know, very supportive of the government on tightening COVID restrictions. And I think the question is, does he say, yes, I still support all this, but as a House of Commons man, I think we should have more debates in Parliament and more votes before these changes. Now, if you were being very cynical, you would think that that would cause Boris Johnson problems because there would be Tory rebellions of varying sizes on nearly all of these measures. Or does he kind of carry on going with the government? I think the other challenge for the government is the whole testing system, which is coming under a lot of strain right now. With the same thing happened in Scotland. Schools come back and the testing system finds it very difficult to keep up with the demand for capacity. I think the more you get stories of people being sent for tests very long distances from their home, the more people start saying, well, I don't mean, is the government's response really kind of cutting the mustard? Is it competent enough? And I think that adds to people's desire for greater parliamentary scrutiny.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Fraser. And just a reminder that you have until Monday to stand in the street in a group of seven without potentially facing arrest.
It's just as well. I've got my Swedish crayfish party tonight. Six of my friends are going to be downstairs in the boardroom. It's going to be lovely.
Just in time.